innercitygeeks.net.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to the Inner City Geeks podcast. It's Steve here. And this is, I'm going to say episode 277, but this one's going to be split into two. So 277 and 278. Joining me today for the best and worst and what the fucks of 2021. I got Brian.
Hey, what's up?
And I got Renee.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Ain't shit, man. It's been a roller coaster of a fucking year. So I figured, you know, we might as well just talk about the shit that we loved and we disliked and the most randomest shit that happened in the fucking world this year. That was so weird because it's a lot of that shit going on. Because of course, you know, we've been going through the ending of like the world coming to an end, pretty much. Like, we're coming back from it all now, and things are slowly getting back to normal, quote-unquote normal, but in the process of...
It's beginning to look a lot like Omicron.
Right, yeah, it really is, but it's cool, you know, all we can do is just fucking push through it and fucking make the best out of what we can, like we have for the last year,
yeah,
or the last 2 years, pretty much.
Yeah.
So, I figured we'd start with our favorite things, with the best parts of this year. So, just get right into it, right? So Brian, what we got, dude? What's one of your tops? Because I told you guys to do five. So, if you can't do five, do more, whatever. It's cool. What you got, Brian?
So for me, as you guys know, I've pretty much been unemployed for the majority of the year. And that I want to eventually start the movies podcast, looking for a 2022 start. But I've watched a lot of shit, but I've also watched a lot of good stuff. And a lot of the shit, I don't remember the names because it's just shit.
Yeah, and that's so fair. That's completely fair.
let me pull up my notes here. All right. Should I start with the good or should I start with the bad?
Start with the good. Give us one good, then Renee will go with another one, and then I'll go with another one, and then we'll just keep going in that way.
Yeah, and I think we all have one good one. We're all gonna share good, so
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah,
I'm almost positive we're gonna share a couple of these.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. So my number one pick. Well, not in any necessarily order of one through whatever, but one of the best picks of 2021, The Suicide Squad.
Nice. That's a very good choice.
Because one, James Gunn, he is a fucking amazing director. Mm-hmm. And we all know what he's done with Guardians. And he likes to use practical effects when it's not Marvel.
yeah,
and so he did just that. It was as practical as you can get. Until you get to Starro, but you know things have to get be done like that. He wasn't gonna like spend a budget like his whole budget on just like this actual star from space,
right? Yeah.
You have to have like Jeff Bezos money for that.
Of course, I'm pretty sure they would have been fine.
Yeah. So the Suicide Squad was something that all three of us were just blown away by. In fact, I watched it twice in one day because that's how fucking good it was.
I think I watched it like four times.
we saw it in the theater. Me and Steve saw it for the preview.
I remember you guys got to go. Mm-hmm.
And I agree. I think it's a great movie.
It's just fantastic. In fact, I'm probably going to watch it again this weekend. Well,
nice.
Or maybe because we're going away for Christmas, so like I'll watch it like probably tomorrow.
Okay.
Well, if you guys are, you know, it's
by the time this comes out, it's Wednesday. Yeah, it'll already be the future. So
it'll be the future. So, yes, the Suicide Squad, James Gunn put together a beautiful film, really well done, well written, well directed. Because James Gunn is like a music lover, like he had a terrific soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, the whole movie was just fun. And like that opening scene where like you think like, oh yeah, this is the suit, and that nope, dead. Nope. And it's like just mm-hmm. a whole new movie. And it was it's a lot of fun. And it's a solid, what was it, a little over 2 hours? But it was like, definitely worth checking.
It went by quick, and then it wasn't too slow. Right.
Yes.
I rewind Tommy Davis and getting whatever his name is getting shot. Like 100 times. That was awesome.
That's fair. That's fair.
Oh, Pete Davidson? Yeah. One of my favorite moments still with that movie was was Nathan Fillion with the where his arms launched out, but instead of like punching, it was just like slapping like a little kid.
That was the best.
that's my first choice for
nice. That's a really good choice. And the one thing that we spoke about the show even before we actually saw what was going on, and the fact that like they said originally that there was going to be like a bazillion people in this movie, and we did get a bazillion people in it. But one thing I said I was like, yo, like there's no way half of these people are going to be in it towards the end.
Mm-hmm.
And we were kind of like thinking about who's gonna be the one of the ones to actually, you know, not make it,
right?
And I think we were right with a bunch of them.
We were.
Yeah, we were pretty spot on with some.
Yeah. And like on a, I'm gonna end it on this, but like really on one of the best moments in that was Margot Robbie as Harley. This is what I feel like, she, even though she's played the character a couple of times, like I feel like this one she really came into her own and finally like was one with the character. Because like that scene where like she escapes out of being cuffed, hung up, like she literally did that. Her like Margot mm-hmm. Robbie did that,
mm-hmm.
and then just that shot for shot, her like escaping was just fun.
It was dope.
So yeah. If you guys. So basically, we're all trying to say, if you guys have not watched The Suicide Squad, correct that. It's really great, especially because you got Peacemaker coming out like soon.
In a couple weeks,
A couple of weeks.
Awesome, Brian. Thank you for your first choice.
Of course.
All right, Renee, what you got for your first choice or one of your choices?
Yeah, this is a really tough list for me this year because like. There's so much good stuff, and I just realized I didn't even mention the video games, which I guess mm-hmm. I'll do at the end of whatever.
It's all good.
like 2021, I guess, between last year being the beginning of the COVID-19 stuff, and a lot of us just staying at home, a lot of these like movies and TV shows that were made between last year and this year were just really, really good because people had nothing else to do, so I guess they had to mm-hmm. focus on whatever specific projects they were working on, and I think it helped. Like a lot of the movies that we're seeing now were filmed during COVID and with all the lockdown stuff and bullshit. And I think in a weird way, it make those movies a little better.
Uh-huh.
And with the exception of Eternals, which I haven't seen, but I don't really have any desire to watch, which I think was probably one of the biggest mistakes Marvel ever did with the MCU. I think they should have made it into a TV show. I think the cast was great. I mean, I'd watch Salma Hayek fucking washing her dog, her lawn, or car, or whatever the fuck.
I'll watch her do anything. Yep.
But I after watching Spider-Man this weekend, I really think they fucked up, and just some other stuff on Disney. I think that was like the biggest mistake, and I think that was it. And I haven't even seen it yet, and then that was it. But my first pick is, I guess, something that came out earlier this year, and like I said, I was kind of surprised that this was this year, because it's so good. Judas and the Black Messiah.
Oh yes, that was a really good one.
Which came out, I guess, February or mm-hmm. like March.
Yeah, really it came out. It came out around like Black History Month.
I'm like blanking on a lot of the stuff in the cast in the movie, but it tells the story of what happened in the '60s, right? Mm-hmm. In Chicago with the Black Panthers, and how the Chicago police and the FBI used an informant to kind of tear apart the Chicago Black Panther Party. And it's just a great movie. It's historically accurate for the most part, which I was really surprised. They actually had to change a lot of stuff, but for the most part, they actually got it really right. And it's just a well-made movie from like the first scene to the ending. And it was a really important movie. And especially after what happened last year with the Black Lives Matter movement, mm-hmm. I think it was a really important movie to come out this year. I don't know how many people saw it. I don't know if it did big. I know it wasn't in the box office because we were still locked up. But I think it's one of the better movies to come out in the last 5 years. Artistically and all around, I think it might be one of the best movies of the year. And then so much other stuff came out afterwards. But yeah, Judas and the Black Messiah is a really, really good movie. And it was weird for me because I really like it, but it's hard for me to watch because I think a lot of that stuff, I knew about all that stuff before mm-hmm. you guys found out about it. And I just think that part of history is being repeated right now. And it's just really hard for me to kind of wrap my brain around it. And it breaks my heart when I think about what's going on in this country. But Judas and the Black Messiah was my first pick for the best of 2021.
Hell yeah, dude.
That's a great pick. I actually been meaning to watch that. And actually, Daniel Kaluuya won the Oscar for that.
Yeah, that's I keep blanking on shit, but yeah, all the awards and accolades that movie got were really well deserved. I said, I'm kind of blanking on names and cast, but it's a really fucking good movie. And if you're listening and you haven't seen it, I highly suggest it.
Absolutely, we all suggest it. It's fucking great. It's a really, really good choice. As for me, my first choice is something that also was on the streamings. Because, of course, we watch a lot of shit. So the first thing that I'm going to be talking about is actually, it was actually a movie series. I'm clunking it all together because if you really look at it and you really watch it, it technically can all be one whole movie. If you really think about it. And I'm talking about the Fear Street series.
Yeah, I had that on my list too.
That was absolutely fucking fantastic for fucking Netflix to do. Everything in it was great. The whole story from beginning to end made sense. And everything kind of fell into place as the story kept going. And I loved every single moment of it. I watched each one of them a couple times. And I was thoroughly enjoyed. I thoroughly enjoyed the fuck out of it. It was really, really fun. It was really good. And the fact that it took a little bit out of three different decades, essentially. The what was it? The 90s, the 60s, and the 1800s and shit. And it was fucking great, dude. It was really good. It was really fun. Good psychological horror type shit. That was great. I fucking loved it, and I definitely suggest people to watch it.
Yeah, that movie was really good. It was all gory and fucked up, and yeah. It was. I got into it as a screener. I forgot how, but I think it was a Hollywood Chicks, the Horror Chicks mm-hmm. podcast or whatever. They got me into the screening list, and I actually watched it at home, and I was really, really pleasantly surprised, and I agree. It was mm-hmm. I guess it's one of my honorable mentions now, but yeah, I definitely had that movie on my list. It should still be on Netflix if you haven't seen it.
I don't think it's gonna come off of Netflix anytime soon, especially since it is like a Netflix originals technically.
Yeah,
gotcha. So it's fucking great. It's definitely worth a watch.
The horror stuff from Netflix has actually been pretty good this year. So,
mm-hmm. yeah. So definitely give that a recommendation for you guys. So the first top three has been pretty damn good so far. Brian, what's your next one, sir?
All right. Let's see. I have a pretty solid couple of choices here. Next up, I'm going to go with something that I did not expect to really enjoy as much as I did. And I'm going to go with Cherry with Tom Holland.
Okay.
So it was interesting to see Tom Holland not be Peter Parker or Spider-Man,
mm-hmm.
Sure, he acts well in those movies, but the kid could actually really act.
Mm-hmm.
And
that was also the one with Tom, what's his face? Who just playing Batman, right?
Robert Pattinson.
Yeah.
No, that was The Devil All the Time.
Okay, yeah, yeah. I get them confused.
Which that was originally going to be on my list, and then I was like, oh shit, that's actually 2020, that movie.
Oh yeah, that was late 2022.
That's why I was like, oh, but I watched it in 2021.
Right, yeah. So did I, yeah.
So I'll give you the rundown of Cherry, for people who don't know. It was actually directed by the Russos.
Oh yeah.
So basically, the synopsis is Cherry drifts from college dropout to army medic in Iraq, anchored only by his true love, Emily. But after returning from the war with PTSD, his life spirals into drugs and crime as he struggles to find his place in the world. Basically, Cherry was one of those movies where I did not expect it to be this good. Especially, like, their drug dealer was known as Pills and Coke. Like, that's literally what he's listed on IMDb.
Is that like the Russos did that, really? Like, I might check that out, because yeah. I just completely forgot about it because there's so much good stuff. All right, yeah. That's interesting.
Cherry was really good. It's dark, it's gritty, it's just, you feel for the character. And like, you see that he loves this girl, Emily, and like, you see like everything going on between them, and she gets hooked on drugs, and they're struggling for money, so he robs banks, and it's just a whole bunch of crazy shit. In fact, Michael Gandolfini's in it.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah. He plays his cousin. And like, and actually Michael Rispoli, another Sopranos alumni, is in that as well. But it's such a beautiful film, because you see, despite everything going on in this kid's life, she's still with him. And it goes to show you that, like, no matter how fucked up things can get, if that person truly loves you, they'll stay.
Absolutely.
And like, I don't know, like, that movie, that hit me. I was like, when it was done, I was like, I teared. I was like, holy shit. Like, that was a beautiful fucking movie.
Okay.
So it's on Netflix if you guys want to watch it. So definitely highly recommend Cherry with Tom Holland.
Okay. I did not watch that. Like, I've actually, like, you've mentioned it a couple times.
Yeah.
But like, I keep forgetting to watch that. So yes, I gotta check that out.
Like, I remember one of the YouTube channels that I watched said that it's worth watching for his performance. So yeah,
100%. Like, Tom Holland put his all into this role. I feel like he puts his all into every role, but like, I knew he was gonna be good in this because of how great he was in Devil.
Okay.
It's highly recommend Cherry. It's like 2.5 hours, but it's a solid movie.
Why is everything so fucking long now?
Yeah, I know. For real.
Because we're stuck at home.
Well, because The Matrix is coming out tonight. Like, we're recording on Tuesday, and it's gonna be tonight at or Wednesday at 3 a.m. And I was looking, and it's 2.5 hours of bullshit. So, back to Tom Holland before I forget, because I know we're gonna talk about him a little bit more. I really hope he doesn't get typecast. Like, we love him in the MCU and stuff, but like, I really, really want him to not be typecast, because I think that's kind of why, like, Tobey Maguire stopped working. And Andrew Garfield's avoiding that shit hard, which I really like. But I just hope Tom Holland doesn't get the whole, you know, I'm Spider-Man thing for the rest of his life.
You're right. I'm sorry to cut you off, but on a side note with Andrew Garfield, and this is why he did Tick, Tick, Boom, where he transformed himself into Jonathan Larson, and he could actually win the Oscar for this, because it was that good, and he was that good. But yeah, you're right. Like, it's nice to see someone not get typecast. So I hope you're right. I hope that he doesn't.
Awesome. Yeah, hopefully not. Hopefully not. I really need to check out Cherry, so I'm going to do that. I'll do that soon. Hopefully this weekend. Probably this weekend. So thank you, sir.
Yeah, of course.
Renee, what you got, dude?
I guess, like, since we were talking about him, I guess we might as well pull out the big gun. One of my best is a movie we just saw this weekend. I saw it with Steve. Spider-Man No Way Home.
Hell yeah.
It's probably the best MCU movie now. It's definitely my favorite one for so many reasons. I'm probably gonna rant for a bit, but it's from the opening of the movie to like the first battle with Dr. Octopus. Spoilers. Well, I mean, everybody fucking knows. Yeah. I talked about that last week, right? How like spoilers are just like everywhere, and I'm just like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Yep.
So it's a really, really well done movie. One of the things that actually caught me off guard was how much I would enjoy watching them do their stuff in New York City. And not just like Manhattan, like they're in my old neighborhood. They're in the Bronx for the first fight. The first fight on the bridge for Doc Ock is in the Bronx. And
it's on the Major Deacon right there.
Yeah, it's like the train yards right where the Major Deacon enters across Bronx and the George Washington Bridge. And if you're a New Yorker, and especially if you're from the Bronx, you've driven through there and you've been through that area a lot. And I'm telling you, man. I could close my eyes right now and I could probably drive that shit in my like without even opening my eyes. Like it was just insane to me. Like I always spoil myself before I go see a long movie, even knowing what was gonna happen, seeing it unfold before my eyes in a big screen in a crowd full of nerds was really, really like just an incredible feeling. Like because when we saw Suicide Squad, I was like kind of thinking about it. We saw Suicide Squad, we saw it for like free screener thing. So that's like old people. And just
that's random everybody's
that they don't have a life, so they you know, like they're like, it's just hilarious because you get like a crowd, you get homeless people going in, like it's just like it, but people still dug it, but it wasn't the same kind of vibe. And then we saw it on Saturday, and it was like a sold out crowd, and it was just an incredible experience, man. But yeah, like watching, there's a couple of silly things that happen in it, but nothing really too stupid. They made everything work. They made the story work. They actually really introduced the multiverse into like the cinematic MCU because it's been in the What If. The connection to what happens in the What If show and some other stuff that they keep kind of throwing around. And even like Spider-Man's reaction to everything. And it's just, it was really good. It's a heartbreaking movie because some of the things that happen in there are just like just too much.
Yeah.
But I actually, after seeing it, I was so kind of hyped. I went back and saw Endgame. I saw Infinity War. And Endgame, it was really funny because I'm like, wow, like these movies still hold up. And even with my hangups of like my connection to my ex and all that stuff that those movies bring back, because it's really hard for me to watch MCU stuff from like 2017 to like 19, because it just brings back so much hurt. But even watching it now, like just chilling by myself with my cat, like I was just like, wow, like this is the these movies are the culmination of something that we've been wanting since we were like 5, 6 years old. I think Spider-Man No Way Home is like one of the best ways to like start off, or I don't even know what phase we're in, but like to kind of like, it's a great way to like, you know, pump up phase 4, because the next stuff that's going to come out, we're all like, what the fuck are they going to do next? I can't recommend the movie enough. I know we all loved it.
Yeah.
I mean, there was like one nitpick, but I actually forgot what it was. It was so stupid. Seeing Tobey Maguire and seeing Andrew Garfield Spider-Man. I don't even like the Andrew Garfield Spider-Man shit that much. And seeing all these guys come back. I love seeing Alfred Molina as Doc Ock again. Like he elevates the material so much. And I think he's just an amazing actor. Even the guy who annoys the fuck out of me sometimes. Jamie Foxx is cool.
Jamie Foxx is really good because they redeemed his character.
And it was cool the way they worked it out, because he's like, oh, I'm this world's version of me. That's why I'm not a goofy nerd, like I'm cool here. And he was like, yeah, it was a really good movie, man. It's so well written, really well done. Cannot recommend it enough. I can't wait to see it again.
It had a lot of heart.
I cried. I'm mad enough to admit that I cried twice last week, right? I cried for Halo fucking Infinite, which really like had me like, I had to stop and think about my life. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Because I don't cry for video games. And I was like, out of a Halo game, out of all games, but I'll explain it next week. And I cried a bunch of times when I was watching Spider-Man No Way Home, because I was like, wow, like it all really got to me, man. And
all the fucking tears.
I don't think my mom died. I don't even think I fucking cried as much as I did during that movie. Like, it was crazy. Like, I was just sitting there like, wow, like, why am I crying? And like half the people in the audience were fucking tearing up. And there's a lot of cool shit in the movie. And I think it's one of the best, if not the best MCU movie right now. I cannot wait to see what they do next, just like the rest of us. And yeah, I'm in.
Like, to add to that, like, cause that was on my list as well. Like, two greatest things for me, aside from, well, actually, well, a little bit more than two things. Them sitting down at the dining room table, and all of a sudden you see the cane, and sits down as Charlie Cox as Matt Murdock.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah. The Netflix is officially in the MCU. Like, we'll know what happened next with Hawkeye tonight at 3 a.m. too. But
yeah.
The Netflix MCU stuff is officially there. I like the whole, like, how'd you do that? I'm a really good lawyer. Really
good lawyer.
Yeah. Yeah. When they threw a brick through the window.
If you look, if you go back and watch, like, when the brick gets thrown through the window, where Charlie Cox catches it because of his hearing. Like Peter Parker also looks because of his spider sense.
Mm-hmm.
I like the fact that excuse me. I like the fact that now that he's older, he has to. And I noticed this in the last movie, is like he has to now make decisions on the fly.
Yep.
You know, like it's no more like
stuff. He has to make grown up decisions.
Grown up decisions, and yep. He's basically his own man now, and. The interactions between him, Toby, and Andrew, like, and they kind of played off on that infamous Spider-Man pointing at Spider-Man, pointing at Spider-Man meme.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And just seeing the three of them together, just, you know, and like when Andrew Garfield's like, I love you guys. And they're like, thank you.
Yeah.
Like, oh man, that movie was great.
The other thing that had me dying too, which I thought was awesome, was the Willem Dafoe meme thing.
Oh yeah,
When he's like, I'm also a little bit of a scientist myself. Like, I was like, oh hey,
that's right. I forgot about that. That was that caught me off guard.
Yo, can we just talk about how Willem Dafoe like was so good this time?
He was fucking great, dude. Amazing.
And somebody else was talking to me about it on my Instagram. It's a shame they never used him as a Joker.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that they're back in. I really hope they figure something out with the multiverse where they bring these guys back again. I mean, I know it's like, you know, like maybe in a TV show or something, like for a cameo. You can't do too much because it's like overkill, but I just hope to bring them back. Plus what the Venom stuff that they're going to do. Watch it be a TV thing first, which I think would work better than a movie.
Absolutely.
It was
fucking great, dude.
And I'm looking forward to a Doctor Strange movie, which is like the craziest thing I ever thought I would say.
Because I when I saw that teaser trailer at the end, I really, it had that Sam Raimi horror movie vibe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I'm like, okay, this is going to be very different than the first movie. And honestly, like, I know a lot of people are like, posting, like, makeshift images online of Andrew Garfield in the Venom franchise now, because they're both Sony. And I know Sony/Marvel want to do more with Andrew Garfield.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be interesting. But yes, Spider-Man No Way Home. Spider-Man 2 with Tobey Maguire used to be my favorite Spider-Man movie, live action. Into the Spider-Verse is its own thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to knock that because that movie is beautiful. Mm-hmm. But Spider-Man 2 with Tobey Maguire has always been my favorite Spider-Man movie out of the live action stuff, even leading into Far From Home. But then we got No Way Home, and just from start to finish, it was a roller coaster of emotions that leave you like just mind blown at the end. Yep. And my theater, I went to a matinee, and my theater had like 10 people in it. I had like the whole row to myself.
Nice.
Reclining seats. It was, check out my Instagram, mm-hmm. R2J. so I had just a picture of me kicking it up, and just like whatever bullshit screen was on, because I didn't want to like post anything. But like, I had the whole row to myself, and it was just an amazing time, and it's the most fun I've spent in the theater. Since the last time I was in a theater.
That's fair.
Well, I can't say it yet because it's not my turn. But anyway, so that's what I got to add on to Renee's thing.
Awesome. Yeah. It was fucking fantastic. Like, I cried like a little bitch, dude, the entire fucking movie. Not even just like, oh yeah, this one little thing. No, I cried a few times. Like it was like tears. I was like, Jesus Christ. Like I was like trying to like not blow my nose too loud and shit. Uh-huh. Yeah, because it just gave me all the fucking feels, dude. Like Aunt May, like so hard. Yeah.
Well, I mean, she's his version of Uncle Ben.
Yeah.
Downfield with great power.
I remember, like, we were watching it. Like, I knew it was going to happen, so I kept, like, ribbing Steve.
Yep. Yeah, it was cool. It was cool. I didn't mind. It was cool. Like, there was just so much in this movie that I was like, oh, man. I can't believe they're bringing all these people back into this whole franchise, pretty much. And just showing us how it could all be just like the fucking comics. Shit that we've seen for years, and now we're finally get to see, you know, it actually being played out on the big screen.
Like, I hate to say it because they're such an evil fucking corporation, but it's the Disney magic, dude. Like, yeah, it has to be, because like
it really is,
because like half the shit that they tried before just didn't work. I mean, look at the Andrew Garfield movies, and they tried to do Sinister Six, and it just didn't work. And I think, I mean, I've said it before, like, as much as I hate Disney as a company, I think that, you know, Marvel being Disney owned and Star Wars being Disney owned are two of the best things to happen in nerddom. I mean, look at what happened in the last, what, not even 10 years? Because Force Awakens was, what, 2015?
Yep.
Yeah.
So, I mean, look at all the shit that's happened in this. And like I said, it's not even been a decade. Like, these people, they know what they're doing. And I think it's fucking awesome that you know,
they rule
everything. Yeah. I wouldn't say good because they're fucking evil, but
yeah,
it's the Disney magic, you know? Mm-hmm. And money, because none of these motherfuckers would have come back. I want to know how much they paid them, because like because you imagine how much they had to pay Tony McGuire. Like, I'm not putting that fucking suit back on.
Mm-hmm.
And then they see the check, and he's like, "Hello, personal trainer."
Yeah, basically. Let's make this work. Come on. Yeah, it was fucking great. Absolutely fucking fantastic. Thank you, Renee. So the next thing on my list, something that I watched, I know Renee, you watch this as well. This is The Last Night in Soho. I fucking love this movie.
Oh my god, I totally forgot about that fucking movie.
Dude, it's so good. It's so fucking good. Edgar Wright, I've always loved Edgar Wright movies. And the fact that this movie was a thriller, which was completely different than what we usually see with Edgar Wright do, made me so fucking happy, because like it was super fucking entertaining. The main story is basically that an aspiring fashion designer winds up somehow going back and forth between the 60s and today. And it's beautifully shot, awesomely done, like so much good shit in this entire fucking movie. The main actress or whatever, Tomasa McKenzie, she was in Jojo Rabbit. Anya Taylor, who we've seen in a bunch of shit. Matt Smith is in it. So much fucking good shit in this movie. Musically, it's fucking great. Score's great. Cinematography. The one thing I love about fucking Edgar Wright is the way he puts together movies. He does such a good job with making a shot different than what we've ever expected them to be. And this one like is like no other. And his originality when it comes to horror, because like we've watched a lot of horror movies, and they've done a lot of things. They did a lot of things differently in this one as compared to others, and it really stands out. And the fact that this is actually less than 2 hours, it's short, like 4 minutes, but it's done really, really well. So Last Night in Soho is one of my favorite movies of this year, actually.
Nice. I'll check it out.
I have to agree with Steve, and I feel like an idiot for completely forgetting about that movie. Like, it just came out not even a month ago. I think one of the scariest parts was like when they showed the naked ghost, and one of them has like a fucking nightstick between his legs, because they're all naked.
Yeah.
No, but seriously, like, I thought the movie was really good. As for someone who like didn't want to like it, because I really hated Baby Driver, and this is just so well done. The beginning kind of threw me off because it was like, is this fake taxi or some shit? But it's you gotta stick with it because it starts out kind of weird. My one nitpick is that they don't explain what happened to her mother for real, or like if her mother was like being, you know, like if her mother was clairvoyant too, because the girl definitely has yeah. like, you know, ESP, whatever. Yeah, highly recommended. Again, I don't know how many people actually saw it because I know it had like a really weird kind of box office thing, but mm-hmm. I thought it was great. One of the better movies of the year.
Yeah. It's fucking fantastic. Like, I definitely super suggest it to anybody to watch. It's fucking super entertaining. Like we said, like you said also, Renee, it's like it's really slow in the beginning, but once stuff starts popping off, it pops off and it's super fucking fun. It's a fun fucking ride.
Nice.
So definitely give it a shot. So Brian, what you got next, dude?
Well, since I had said that, you know, what you call it, Spider-Man was the last, you know, it was a lot of fun in the theater since the last time I was in the theater, that would be Ghostbusters Afterlife.
Oh, yeah. I still haven't watched that one, unfortunately.
So Afterlife was written and directed by Jason Reitman, son of Ivan Reitman, who did the first two Ghostbusters. So Ghostbusters Afterlife, I didn't expect to see it the way I did, as you guys know, and we had Danny on, is like, he and I were at the New York City premiere at the AMC Theater, Lincoln Center, with the entire cast. And
lucky.
It was amazing, and I told you that, you know, poor Bill Murray was just probably trying to take a shit when fans were accosting him.
Of course.
You know, but sitting down, watching this film, aside from it being in a room full of Ghostbuster fans from across the country, right? Like, all dressed up in gear, too. Getting to see Ghostbusters Afterlife, because I've heard only good things, and we all were, like, gonna kind of go, by that teaser trailer,
mm-hmm.
when you first see the Ecto in the farmhouse, and, like, we really want to know what was going to happen, and how are we going to do this without Harold Ramis? And they did. They made a fan-fucking-tastic film that paid all the love and tribute to the original. It's more of a sequel to Ghostbusters and not Part 2, but there is some Part 2 elements in. I know they're going to do another one, so like they'll probably focus on more of that later. But everything about the movie was shot well done. It was great seeing the young cast, getting to know the Ghostbusters without experiencing it, because they're born in the 90s and ghostbusting happened in the 80s.
Right.
And like, I gotta give it up to McKenna Grace as Phoebe. McKenna Grace, I think she was like 13 or 12 or 13 when they filmed this movie.
Okay.
And like, McKenna Grace always plays the young version of the next character. Like, she was young Margot Robbie in I, Tonya.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you did mention that, yeah.
Yeah. So, like, seeing her in, like, a breakout role, you know, like, a sort of starring role, and her interacting with this other kid, Podcast, who, that's his nickname, because he's a podcaster, and, like, Paul Rudd going, like, wait, you guys don't know what the Ghostbusters are, and like, just seeing, like, you know, the joke about the proton pack is that it's heavy, and mm-hmm. you know, it's heavy for guys like us. So imagine this 12-year-old girl finding a proton pack and then trying to put it on. It was hilarious to watch, because like, she's like trying to put it on and like falling over and shit, and then it was just really well done. It was a lot of fun. It paid the tribute that it needed. It told its own story. A couple of good cameos in the movie. I liked a lot of callbacks to the originals. I liked that they literally built a farmhouse where it wasn't just an interior and then an exterior. They built a house for this movie. I know Adam Savage worked on props for them as well, which is great. Get go see after. Well, by the time that, you know, the show is out, it'll probably be on like streaming. Yeah. Whenever you can, watch Ghostbusters Afterlife. You will not be disappointed, especially if you're a Ghostbusters fan as a kid. And like, it was great because the last movie I saw in theaters before COVID was the 35th anniversary of the original. So like, it was nice that like, where that part ended, and then bullshit in the middle, and then COVID, you know, was low, and then I get to go see the next one. So it was kind of like the startup of the year for me for movies in theaters, and I thought that was really good. But yeah, so that's my next pick is Ghostbusters Afterlife. It's one of the better films of 2021.
Nice. Hell yeah, dude. That's awesome. I got to check it out. Like I've been wanting to, and just haven't, you know, gotten the chance to, unfortunately.
Yeah, that reminds me. I got to start looking for it because I want to.
It should be out sometime soon. Yeah. So Renee, what's your next one?
God, I got to stay off Reddit. My next one was a really, really pleasant surprise. Not so much, but I haven't liked anything Jason Statham has done in a while. And Wrath of Man, which technically is a cheat because it came out last year overseas in Europe. And it's a phenomenal crime movie. And I think it's probably Guy Ritchie's best movie in a really long time. I think maybe since Rock and Roller. It stars Jason Statham as a mystery man, and he ends up working for an armored car company because of an incident that happens in the movie, and it's just a balls to the wall action heavy fucking movie, and it's well written, well acted. Even fucking Puto Mahon is good in it for like the 2 seconds that he's in it. And I was just blown away. Like, this is why Jason Statham is a superstar. And this is why Guy Ritchie was at one point considered to be, like, one of the best fucking directors in the world. Yep. And then he married Madonna, and that just went away. But he's slowly kind of been working his way back. He's made some really bad movies. Like, I didn't realize he had done Sinbad or one of those Disney remakes. And he did two really bad movies. One with Madonna, and another one right after Rock and Roller. And he did something else really recently that sucked. But The Gentleman was really good. And that came out in 2020. Yeah. It came out at the beginning of last year. And that was really good, too. Like, if you haven't seen that, definitely check it out. It's got to be streaming somewhere. I think it was on HBO for a while, or Showtime. But it's really good. The Gentleman. It has Matthew McConaughey on it. And it's Guy Ritchie's. That was Guy Ritchie's return, I think. The beginning of his return to greatness.
Yep.
Because the Sons of Anarchy guy is in it. And I can't stand that guy. And I was like, wow, this is really good.
Yeah, Charlie Hunnam.
This movie, like, Wrath of Man, it's just so fucking good. Mm-hmm. I highly recommend it to anyone, especially if you're into crime movies. It's up there with Heat for me now. Like, I've seen it a bunch of times this year.
It's really good.
Every time I see it, I notice something else that, like, Statham kind of, like, sets up. Because the whole, like, reveal is, like, halfway through the movie. And the way they reveal shit and the way things go down is pretty, pretty crazy. And it's almost kind of like believable the way shit happens. And it's like I said, man, it's one of the better movies of the year. Definitely one of Guy Ritchie's best movies in a long time. And especially if you've been a Jason Statham fan since he started, you're definitely going to love this movie. And I tried doing that shoot with one hand thing a bunch of times. I tried that shit with the 9mm.
Doesn't work.
That shit with the 22. I could do it a little bit with the 22, but like, it's still really hard to do. Like, you can do it, but it's just like, it was great. Like, that's the thing too about like guns. Like, the no recoil thing on guns is really annoying me now. But the way it's done in Wrath of Man is actually really good. It's such a fucking good movie. Like, definitely check it out.
Okay, definitely gonna. I did check it out. It was actually really fucking good. It's fucking really good. Like, this one of the few movies that as of late that Jason Statham's done that has nothing to do with the Fast and the Furious shit, which I'm excited for.
Right.
And it fits. It's fucking great, dude. Like, it's really good. Like, he's so good at it. And everybody, like, his whole supporting cast is fucking fantastic as well. Like, even though most of them are, like, complete dickbags. But,
There's not one good person in the whole movie.
Yeah.
Like, even Jason, like, they're all assholes. Like, they're all criminals.
Yeah, yeah, they're all literally criminals. Like, and the way the story goes, it's written really well. And everybody puts in, like, 110% of the shit. It's fucking great.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I saw it on your recommendation, and I thought it was great.
Yeah, it's fucking fantastic. So definitely check out Wrath of Man.
And the before I forget, the ending shootout at the end of the movie at the Armored Car place is really, really well done. Like, that's one of the best shootouts in a while.
Mm-hmm. It's fucking great.
Like, 15 minutes of them fighting each other. It is so well done.
Yeah. Yeah. Good job. I forgot that movie. Yeah. I guess my next choice is not a movie. We've done movies this entire time so far. And I'm going to go with a TV show. And I'm talking about the HBO show, something I spoke about on the show a while ago. Well, not sure, a long time ago, but a little bit ago, a couple months ago. I'm talking about The Mayor of Easttown, which is a fantastic fucking story.
Yeah, you need to watch that.
Yeah, it's fucking great. It's basically a story about what is she? She's a detective in a small town in Pennsylvania. And she's following a local murder. And at the same time, like, she's following this murder, but her whole life is falling apart. And it's just a crazy fucking story because you get to see what the real life situations would be for somebody that's in such a high position in, I'm not gonna say government, but like in a town. So it's done really well, shot really well, great story. Kate Winslet is the main person in it, and she's fucking fantastic. So many good people, so many good actors. At one point, Evan Peters joins the cast as her. He's brought in from the FBI to help with these investigations, and he's like the younger dude's helping the older lady, and it's really good. It's done really well, and he's kind of like trying to hit on her and stuff, and she's like, "Fuck you, dude. You're like mad young," and it's good. It's a real, real good show. Some parts are really depressing, really sad, but besides that, it's super fun. I meant it's super good. It's not fun because it's a lot of dark shit in the show. But I definitely suggest watching The Mayor of Easttown on HBO. It's fucking great. So definitely go check that out. So Brian, what's your next one?
My next one is something that caught me by surprise, and it was just so full of action, and it just so full of like famous names, and it was pretty much an all-female cast. And I'm gonna go with Gunpowder Milkshake.
Oh yes,
that was on my list too, man. All right, so I gotta cross that one off. How's it going?
Yeah, that was a fantastic one.
Oh my god, what a fucking what a ride, what a roller coaster.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
it's fucking great, dude.
Fucking Karen Gillan, holy hell, that's probably one of her best roles.
Yeah, Nebula, she's so good in that.
Like one of my favorite moments in that movie was when she is paralyzed on the upper half of her body.
Yep.
And like she's basically having like the girl
spin her around, protect, yeah.
Spin her around and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god, like. That was something I did not expect to be this good. But I think you had watched it first, Steve, and I was like, oh.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, I gave it a shot. I think it was after we recorded that episode. And, like, I'm like, oh, okay. And then I put it on. I was, like, blown away by it. it was... so this came out in July. It was it's roughly about 2 hours. But basically... For those that don't know the story of Gunpowder Milkshake, the synopsis is, to protect an 8-year-old girl, a dangerous assassin reunites with her mom and her lethal associates to take down a ruthless crime syndicate and its army of henchmen. And it had a solid cast. It had Lena Headey as the mom, Carla Gugino, Michelle Yao, Angela mm-hmm. Bassett,
mm-hmm.
And it was just like oh shit, Paul Giamatti was in it yeah. as well. Like,
yep, can't forget Paul Giamatti.
No, but it's something that I did not expect to be that good a film, and it was, and it's on Netflix, so you guys need to check out Gunpowder Milkshake. It's
just, mm-hmm.
You're in for a wild ride.
Yeah,
that movie.
It's so worth it.
Yep. That movie, Steve put me on because of the trailer, and I was like, "Wow, this is awesome!" And then it was like Netflix, and we're like, "Even better."
Yeah.
Because it's the cast is great. It's got Michelle Yeoh, Carla Gugino, who I fucking love. She's so hot, and yeah, it was just a really, really fun action movie. Like, it was on my list, and I guess I got to put another one in there. But it's the from beginning to end. It's a story we've seen before. Like, you know, an assassin has to take one of her victims' yeah. kids, mm-hmm. but it's done so well, and it's like so over the top and so ridiculous that it works really well. And the yep. fight scenes, everything, that bowling alley fight was really good.
Yeah,
and like yeah. everything in that movie was really well done. So. Kind of, I think they said they're gonna make a sequel or a series or some shit.
Oh, that'd be dope.
I know there's more coming out.
I heard there's a sequel happening.
Yeah, like they all signed up for it because I mean Netflix, like we said before a couple episodes ago or even last episode, like Netflix rules the world. So like,
yep.
even their worst shit is successful because people watch it. So yep. yeah,
yeah. I don't know what it is with all these movies and these directors doing like hallway scenes that are fucking fantastic.
It's, yeah. The hallway scene has been in cinema and TV since like what the 60s.
Yeah,
and I think yeah. for me the best one is the one in the original Old Boy, and then like
oh yeah for sure.
Better
oh,
better. Yeah. Daredevil, Punisher had one.
Yeah,
Daredevil had like three.
Yeah,
like it's a great way to show people fighting a bunch of people like you know in order and like the yeah. way they do it in movies. So it works really well when it's done right.
Especially when it's done like a one shot was fucking fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like an Old Boy, that one shot is fucking insanely good.
The other one that did it really well was The Raid.
Yeah, yeah.
The first one.
Mm-hmm.
But oh, yeah. really quick, back to what Steve was talking about. It's Mare of
yeah
Easttown. I keep thinking it was Mare. It's Mare.
Yep, Mare.
Like horse.
Not the mayor of whatever other town that's in with
Jeremy with, Hawkeye.
Yeah, Jeremy Hawkeye. Yeah.
Jeremy.
It's Hawkeye. It's a mayor, yeah, because I want to check it out. Because I, again, so much good shit this year, and so much stuff to watch
yeah.
and play.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. So oh, yeah.
That's my next pick was Gunpowder.
Hell yeah, Jake. Hell yeah, dude.
Worth watching. It's so full of action. It's so fast paced. It's comical at times. Like it's just a fun film.
It's all over the place. It's fucking.
And great. I know the meatheads had like a hard time with it because it's a female. Everything that's like female led or driven, they fucking call woke, and I'm like, just shut the fuck up.
Mm-hmm.
It was good to see the side of martial arts and action movies because yeah. it's sausage fest, like you know, all the way. Even in the fucking stupidest movies that y'all watch, like it's always like a male driven thing. And this is really cool. Like a lot of like Western action has had a really hard time getting it right, so. The fact that they pulled it off with Gunpowder Milkshake, it says a lot. So mm-hmm. it's a great movie. Highly recommend it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. Renee, it's your choice. No.
All right. Let me go through my honorable mentions because we kind of overlapped a few. I guess one that I could say for best of was Dune, which I think is probably...
Okay.
Like, you know, artistically, I think it's the best movie of the year.
Yeah.
It's not my best of the year, but I loved it. I thought it was really good. Long-ass fucking movie. But it's really fucking good. It tells a crazy sci-fi epic story. It's also, like, the sci-fi epic story that kind of started it all. Like, you know, Lord of the Rings started fantasy, and Dune kind of started modern sci-fi. Like, a lot of the stuff that happens in Dune, you'll see in Star Wars, especially the first Star Wars,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of other sci-fi movies that we're into. The cast is great, from Timothée Chalamet, Zendaya, even Captain Aqua Meathead, Jason Moore is really good in it.
Yeah,
and
he's good.
Yeah, and I was just blown away at, like how well done it was, and how much they were able to fit into that screen, and like every scene is just gorgeously shot. Mm-hmm. Every fucking like every scene is well acted. they made shit that sounded really stupid in the book and in the 1980s movie work this time, and I was just blown away. This guy, Vavouv, whatever the fuck his name is, the director, he's done some really good movies, most notably the Blade Runner sequel, which is actually really good. And yeah, I can't wait to see the sequel to this. It was one of my I knew it was gonna be good, but then like watching it, I was just completely blown away. And I remember watching it like two or three times that first night that it came out, because I was like, wow, like I love those books. I actually started reading them again here and there this summer. And I love the books and I love the whole mythos around it. And yeah, like seeing this on the big screen, and not seeing it on the big screen, but like watching this on my TV and being thoroughly entertained and like blown away and like totally sucked into a world that I've seen and I've read about for a long time. It was just such a great experience. And yeah, it was one of the best movies of the year. Pretty sure it's the best movie of the year.
Yeah, it is actually a fun watch.
It's just long.
It's super fucking long. The only reason I didn't put it in one of my tops was because it is super fucking slow. Granted, yes, it is a lot of story, but it's super fucking slow. So I can
action starts, it works.
Yeah, like I get why a lot of people aren't fans of it, but if you really stick with it and you actually pay attention to the story, it's definitely worth the watch. Cinematography in this entire thing is fucking fantastic. Special effects are fucking fantastic. And the thing that they did use a lot of practical effects as well, but it's done really well. Like it's definitely something that you should check out. Take your time and watch it. You don't have to sit through the entire, like almost 3 hours to watch it in one try. Give it like, you know, hour and a half, then an hour and a half after. But it's definitely worth a watch.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. So check it out. My next choice. It's something that, staying away from the visual medium. And I'm going, technically it is kind of a visual medium, but it's also an auditory medium as well. I'm talking about this year, the first event that I went to this year. And I wouldn't say I went to it because it was something that I actually worked. And the first thing that I worked this year that was super fucking exciting, super fucking entertaining, was the Sunset Music Festival.
I'm still gonna work that shit next year. I don't care how much my back hurts. I'm going.
Dude, it was so fucking fun. First off, this was the first big event that happened after the world started to open, or at least after Florida started to open up.
Yeah, that was around Memorial Day weekend, because I started driving that week.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Memorial Day weekend.
And this event was, a two-night event or whatever. Was it two nights or three nights? It was a couple of days. It took over the entire weekend, and it was absolutely crazy.
And then they have it here, but that never happens. Like they don't have those things here.
No, they have that. They have that at the stadium every year.
Oh, they do?
Yes, okay. They do. But we don't notice it because we don't tend to go that way, and we're not really into that type of music. It's an EDM festival, and like I said, like I'm not a fan of the music. But going to this event and it being like the first event that everybody's pretty much out in the open was one of those like eye-opening moments to be like, yo, this is how shit should be. Everybody's out, everybody's having fun, everybody's enjoying themselves. Some people getting drunk, some people getting high, some people doing Molly, some people doing all the other shits. It was super fucking entertaining.
The amount of pot smoke that was around that stadium every time I drove by, because I was driving over. That shit was hilarious. I kept opening the windows so they could like come in. It was so crazy, man.
Yeah. It was fucking bonkers, dude. Like it was really fun. It was really fun. Especially like I was working the VIP area and seeing people in that area get completely plastered. Was so fucking entertaining because I've been on the other end. Like I've been on the outside looking in and actually being in the VIP area and actually seeing how these people are for like spending thousands of dollars for like a table. I was like, geez, where do you guys get all this money from?
And it was hot, and like women and guys wearing like thongs just walking around.
Yeah, like people were half naked. People were practically naked, just with like women's wearing pasties. And like, I was like, okay, I'm definitely down for this. This is super fun.
I was spraying people in my car with sunblock.
Nice. Yeah.
Before they got outside, it was so crazy.
It was fucking fantastic. Like it was one of my favorite things that I've enjoyed this entire year. Like there's been a lot of things that I've enjoyed. Like also like there's been that. There was WrestleMania that I went to this year. Of course, the Bucks games have been super fun. But this one being that it was the very first one that I went to this year, the very first thing that, you know, thousands of people were able to go to and thousands of people were able to enjoy was one of my favorite things of the year. So, yeah, that is my next pick. So, Brian, what is yours?
My next pick, I'm trying to think. I mean, I have an honorable mention, but I might scrap that and just off the top of my head.
Are you keeping count? Like, which one are we on?
I just did four.
Okay.
So we're on the last one for the good.
Well, then technically this would be, I'm going to throw in an honorable mention then, because I already did five.
Okay.
I did four. I added to Renee's Spider-Man.
Okay.
If I had to pick anything, it's something that really surprised the hell out of me. It didn't do well in the box office, unfortunately, but that's not because of who's in it. It's because of COVID. And this movie is called Stillwater.
Okay.
So Stillwater starred Matt Damon mm-hmm. as like a...
Wow, you actually saw that, right?
It was a really good film. So the premise of Stillwater is that an American oil rig roughneck travels to Marseille, France to visit his estranged daughter, who is in prison for a murder she claims she didn't commit. Confronted with language barriers, cultural differences, and complicated legal system, he soon builds a new life for himself as he makes it his personal mission to exonerate her. His daughter is played by Abigail Breslin. So basically, he's a Midwesterner, and you know how they feel about same-sex relationships, and so she was in love with a woman, and the woman gets killed, and Abigail Breslin is the one that was taken into custody, and she's doing time in a Marseille prison cell, and so on weekends has to travel from whatever backwater state he was living in to France to go visit her. And to try to like work with lawyers to get her out. And it was just really, it was something that I didn't expect I was going to like. But it turned out to be a really good film. And it showed you like the cultural difference and like just the way backwater America thinks and stuff. So I found it free on like one of the torrent sites that I use. But whenever it does it, like digital, whatever, definitely check out Stillwater. It's one of Matt Damon's best.
Okay. Very cool. Yeah, I don't think I don't think I even remember about that movie.
That's the Amanda Knox thing, right? Right?
No.
Because it's based on the case where the chick supposedly killed her roommate. Hang on.
I'm not. Yeah.
What the fuck? This cunt, I mean, wow. I kind of want to stop recording because she has a fucking $1 million podcast. Holy shit. Yeah, Amanda Knox. She spent four years in Italian prison. I just saw that.
Uh-huh.
Son of a bitch, man. Fuck you podcasters. Anyway. she earns it. She was in Italian jail for 4 years. You know how fucked up that is?
Yeah.
I mean, you think they're bad here. Like, oof.
Oh no, they're worse. They're worse outside of the U.S. Period. Yeah,
yeah, that's like everybody though. But like, the shit I've heard from Italy from my female friends that have gone there, it's just OD. But anyway, we're going on. We're still on number four.
This is technically the last one. This is the fifth one.
All right, so, all right. Let's see. We didn't mention that. All right, I'm gonna do a cheat and I'm gonna tie for number five, and I'll do the rest of the honorable mentions, right? Because these are TV shows, and of course they're Marvel TV shows. The ones that did it for me this year the most were Hawkeye and Captain America and the Winter Soldier. I mean, it's still Falcon and the Winter Soldier, but I call it Captain America and the Winter Soldier. They were both surprisingly awesome shows to me. Yeah. I think the Captain America Falcon and the Winter Soldier thing, it was more like I was like, please don't fuck this up, because I love the fact that Falcon, it became Captain America in the comics, and we had a black Captain America in the comics for like a good run, like almost it was more than 5 years, because he was Captain America for a while. And just seeing that, like, I never in a million fucking years, being a comic book nerd, especially a Marvel nerd, I never thought we would see Elijah Bradley on screen, and I never thought we would see that part of the Truth comic book on screen. And it's canon, it's in the MCU, and I was like, wow, that blew me away.
Yeah, that's not going away anytime soon.
Seeing all, you know, seeing everything that happens between the relationship between Falcon and Winter Soldier and Zemo and all the other stuff that happens in the show, it was just so well done. And the way they adapted the Captain America like controversy in the MCU and turned it into the origin of US Agent was really well done. Mm-hmm. I think Wyatt Russell is one of the better action actors now. He's been in like random shit, but everything that he's been in has been really good. Forgot the name of the Nazi horror movie he was in, but it was really good. But yeah, Captain America and the Winter Soldier, every episode was fucking awesome. We were like sitting on the edge of our seats every week waiting to see what's gonna happen next. Each episode was better than the last one. Well written, well acted, made you feel for the characters and even for the bad guys, because they weren't evil, they were just misguided, and the way they wrote it and the way they pulled it off and all that stuff was really, really good. The Power Broker stuff, the Madripoor, all that shit was fucking awesome, and it was great seeing it on TV and actually have it work and really mean something. And then Hawkeye, which I was really pleasantly surprised. I know we talked about it a lot last week, but we actually talked about it a lot the last 2 weeks, but I really fucking dig it. And again, it's like kind of making me watch. I can't even like really explain it. It's just like I was really fucking like philosophically opposed to liking this shit, and then I heard about the spoiler with Kingpin, like the rest of the fucking world before I saw it. So like once I realized that Kingpin was in it and they were gonna do what they're gonna do, and bringing the Netflix characters into the MCU with that and Spider-Man, I was like, fuck it, I'll give it a shot, and I did, and I was really pleasantly surprised, and I'm really glad I did. I might try to read some of the comics, even though I mean I'm not gonna, you know, whatever, but I'm gonna try to look through the comics because I wanted to check out some of the stuff. I know Kate Bishop is a cool character. I read her in some random like Deadpool stuff that I read a while ago. And again, making these characters work, I think Hayley Stanfield's an amazing actress since True Grit, which is 2010. And I think her, I just love seeing that her career has been on a consistent like upward trajectory. And that she hasn't fucked up. Like I think Pitch Perfect could have been her fuck up, but even that was pretty, it wasn't good, but it was fun and it was stupid and it was entertaining.
Like a Pitch Perfect would be.
Yeah, and even like the Dickinson thing that she's on, I heard was pretty good. Like I might check it out. But yeah, like Hawkeye is a really good show. Where I'm waiting for 3 a.m. tonight to watch the last episode. And hopefully we'll have more Kingpin. But yeah, that was my last pick for 2021 for the most part. I have a couple of honorable mentions. I'm just going to say them and just not really talk about them. It's actually, I whittled it down to like three because we all kind of mentioned it and it crossed over. My honorable mentions for the best of 2021 were Godzilla versus Kong, Army of the Dead, and Forever Purge.
Okay.
Oh, and the video games, before I forget, because I'm going to like, I just don't want to forget these two games because they're really, really good and surprisingly fucking good. Halo Infinite and Call of Duty Vanguard are my two for the games of the year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. Brian, do you have any honorable mentions you want to talk about right now? Or?
Yes. And actually, I'm gonna switch Stillwater to be an honorable mention because I totally forgot about one of my favorite films of 2021, and that's Tick, Tick, Boom.
Oh, okay.
Tick, Tick, Boom, as I noted before on the Spider-Man thing, Andrew Garfield not being typecast, right? So Andrew Garfield played Jonathan Larson, who is the guy that wrote Rent, and sadly passed away at 35, just a couple of days shy of Rent hitting off Broadway. And Rent lasted 15 years, on the stage. But before he wrote Rent, he wrote Tick, Tick, Boom. And watching clips of the actual John Larson playing all these, all these songs and stuff, and then going back and watching Andrew Garfield become Jonathan Larson, it was a mind-blowing film. I'm not big into musicals, but I'm big into biopics. For me, the way Andrew Garfield portrayed Jonathan Larson, I know he's definitely nominated for the Oscar, and he's like on the higher rated, however they do there, who they're going to choose. So I really hope he wins for this. To me, the way he portrayed John Larson is equal to the way, Joaquin Phoenix became Johnny Cash. Andrew Garfield learned to sing, worked with a vocal coach, learned to play piano, basically became the character that he was portraying. And it's on Netflix. It's a solid film. It takes place in the early 90s. They recreated the moon. What should you call it? The diner. The one that Mary Jane Watson worked at in Spider-Man.
The Moonstruck Diner. The moon whatever.
Yeah, that one. So they recreated that. And they threw in a bunch of, if you're big into, Broadway, they threw in a bunch of, famous Broadway actors in this one scene. B.B. Newworth was actually one of them. Okay. Yeah, highly recommended. Tick, Tick, Boom. It's Lin-Manuel Miranda directed it. And he I think he wrote it too, but so that's my true final pick of 2021.
Nice. Very cool. Very cool. And my final pick for this, for 2021, my final good shit for 2021, is, music. You guys know I love music, and they can't go an episode without actually throwing some type of music in here. And the music I'm talking about is Scion, which is a band that consists of two people, and that is the former lead singer of Killswitch Engage, Howard Jones, and the YouTube sensation, the dude that has 300 million followers or subscribers on YouTube, and that's Jared Dines. He plays guitar for the most part, and that album is fucking fantastic. The self-titled album is called Scion, S-I-O-N. And from beginning to end, it is fucking fantastic. Great guitar work. Great vocals. Huge fan of Howard Jones since Killswitch Engage. And been enjoying him since then with everything that he's done. And this album is fucking fantastic. So if you guys ever get a chance to actually want to listen to something different, check it out. It's fucking great. Great guitars. Absolutely fucking fantastic guitar work by a YouTuber of all people. But yeah, check it out. Scion. And that pretty much wraps it up for the good shit of this year.